Okay, so let's read that scripture. He says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesied edifieth the church. When we prophesy, we are speaking forth God's message in a known language for the church to benefit. But then when we speak in tongues, we may not understand what we are saying. Go to verse 2, the same book, the same chapter, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. Mysteries. When you speak in tongues, you bring forth mysteries. Mysteries about your future. Mysteries about the work that God has given you. You speak mysteries. And until those mysteries are brought into this world, they may never happen. Are you following this? Okay, just for the records. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That means in esoteric language. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Next verse. You love this. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Okay, next verse. Next verse, you see it now. It says, but as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You see it? The things that God has prepared for you are revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. How? He says, for the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Can you see that? For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Okay, read the next one. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. My goodness. Next verse. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Oh God. Comparing things spiritual with spiritual. Did you see that? I wish I had time to major on that. Glory to God. Mysteries. Mysteries. As you speak in tongues, you speak mysteries. You speak mysteries. And that's why he told us that the one who speaks in tongues, you pray that he might interpret. Because there are mysteries being spoken. And if they're not brought into the understanding, you may never walk in the light of those mysteries of God. Because they are hidden wisdom. You are praying about your church growth. You're praying about the success of the ministry in that city, in that country. Then God, if you pray in tongues, the Spirit of God will bring the mysteries, the things you need. He will bring them to your spirit, but they might be spoken in tongues. But you need to bring them. And then when you speak in tongues, he also gives you that ability to interpret.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So, if you're a minister of God, you must pray in tongues. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. You have to pray a lot in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go to verse 18. Let me show you something. Verse 18. This is Paul the apostle. We all agree that he was very successful in ministry. Look at what he said. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. That's Paul the apostle. If he had the boldness, the audacity to say to a whole church, I speak in tongues more than you all, It means he spoke in tongues a lot. And he knew it. You can't just stay there and say, amen. It's finished. Is that your own speaking in tongues? It's not enough. It's not enough. And you can just, it's not enough. Speaking in tongues is the language of angels. It's a language. It's a language. And so when you pray in tongues, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, go to verse 13. Let me read something to you from verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Have you seen that? Aha. Next verse. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. You see, that's how to pray in the spirit. You pray in tongues, but your mind doesn't know what you're saying. That's what we read in verse 2 of the same book and the same chapter. He says, no man understands, but in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. If you don't pray in tongues, there are things that should happen for you that will never happen until you pray in tongues. Listen, why it's so important that you pray in tongues? Human prayer with human language cannot go far enough. Your human language is corrupted and therefore will not appeal to a holy God. You have to understand that. So it gives us a spiritual language to communicate at the highest level. What you cannot say with human words, you can say in tongues. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance. Which means you don't choose the words by yourself. The Holy Spirit chooses the best words to appeal to the mind of God. So when you are praying in tongues, you are praying the highest kind of prayer. You are praying the holiest kind of prayer. So pastors, ministers, evangelists, all ministry, you want to be successful with it, you must pray in the spirit. You must pray in tongues. You must pray in the spirit. No shortcuts. Give time to it. Give special time to praying in tongues. Give special time to praying in tongues. If you pray in tongues long enough, nothing can stop your success. Nothing can stop your growth. Nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still there? Yes. This is very important. Praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, your spiritual eyes will open. You start seeing visions. I never saw visions until I started praying in tongues. When I started praying in tongues, I started seeing visions. What did the Bible tell us? He says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He said, the old men shall dream dreams. The young men shall see what? Visions. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't see visions. When he says the old men shall dream dreams, he doesn't mean the gray-headed men in church who dream dreams. That's not what he's talking about. He means those who are fast passing away. They'll be dreaming dreams. But those who are young in faith, they will see visions. Hallelujah. You see visions. 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 How do I know the things I'm supposed to do? Visions. I see visions when I pray. I tell people, I don't know, what happens with you when you pray? For me, when I pray, I see visions. Otherwise, there's no way to do the kind of things we do. How can you do them with human understanding? And when you are in ministries like this, you will collide with spiritual forces. You will. You will collide with forces. But you see, before you ever get to that level, you must have been resolved. You say to yourself, come what may. That's it. You fear nothing. Then you find that you are pushing forward continually, making further inroads for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Speak in tongues for a second. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've spoken in tongues sometimes for hours. You know, you're just speaking in tongues. Sometimes you're not able to stop. You just keep speaking until your stomach, you know, is hurting you. Speaking in tongues. But when you are done, you will know that you have settled things in the realm of the Spirit. After you have done that, in the realm of the Spirit, things are perfected. Then you have a walkover on earth. You have a walkover. So, it is something that you're going to do for yourself. There are certain things in ministry that other people can do for you, but there are some that nobody can do for you. There's some that no one can do for you. One of them is prayer. No one can do your praying for you. They may pray for you, okay? But they cannot do your praying for you. Do you understand that? Yeah, you can hire anybody to do something, but you cannot hire someone to pray. It's not going to work. You're going to have to pray yourself. And instead of saying so many things in your own understanding, and saying so many things to try to convince God, speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. You know, sometimes the Christians, ministers, looking for what they call a breakthrough for something. You don't need any breakthrough. Speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you will change things in the realm of the Spirit. Glory to God. Okay, now the second thing. Still on praying in the Spirit. Okay, the second thing is in Romans chapter 8. Let's read from verse 26. Hallelujah to Jesus. Okay, look at it. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. He didn't say we don't know at all. He says, as we ought to know. We don't know what to pray for as we should. There are some things we know to pray for, but we don't know enough. Sometimes we want to pray, we don't know what's behind the case. This is likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, Old King James translation says itself, it's supposed to read himself. The Spirit himself maketh intercession for us, oh God, with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is a different type of prayer. This is not speaking in tongues. Groanings that cannot be uttered. In speaking in tongues, the Bible says we have utterance by the Holy Spirit. In these groanings, he says groanings. You know what it is to groan? There are sounds of that as though one is in pain. As though one is going through some excruciating pain. The kind of sounds you make when you are displeased and pained about something. He says it's the Holy Spirit. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So that means the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer.
The Holy Spirit is our helper, teacher, guide, comforter, and so much more. Learn how, in the place of prayer, the Holy Spirit prays for us through us according to the will of God. All this and more in this next segment. You are watching the International School of Ministry Ministers Network Conference with the man of God, Pastor Chris. This conference had in attendance over 5,000 ministers representing over 105 nations. Be blessed as you watch.
I told you, without the Holy Spirit, how can you be successful? This is a special kind of prayer where the Holy Spirit, in fact, where he says the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, it means bears us up in our weakness, in our limitation. He bears us up where we are unable to proceed. You get into this kind of prayer and the Holy Spirit supports you. You see, he has to do it through you. He will not do it on his own. So don't sit down and say, well, the Holy Spirit is praying for me. No, he wants to pray for you through you. He says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes there are many Christians who find themselves in those groanings, but because they don't understand and they have never been taught, they wonder whether something is wrong. They say, Pastor, when I pray, I find myself crying and I don't know why. I say, continue. Don't stop. Don't stop until your crying turns to laughter. Don't stop. That prayer, when the Spirit seizes on you to pray like that, when you yield yourself to Him, you go, They say, what is wrong? Nothing is wrong. It's prayer. Something is going on. Something is going on. All that's coming out of you just deep sighs. And sometimes you will feel exactly like what that person that you are praying for is going through. You find yourself going through that pain as if you were the one suffering. If you don't pray like this, things will be happening. Bad things will be happening to members of your church. And you will have no solution. You find children dying. Young people dying. Older ones dying. Different kinds of things happening. Terrible things happening to members of the church. Why? Because that pastor doesn't know how to pray in the Spirit. And he hasn't taught the members how to pray in the Spirit. But if they learn how to pray in the Spirit, you find members telling you, Pastor, last night I was sleeping. I just woke up. And I found myself praying, groaning. I don't know why I was praying. But I kept praying. Then the next thing you hear a mighty testimony. Someone was going through some terrible thing. And the Holy Spirit woke up a member and caused him to pray in the Spirit. There's a networking. There's a connection. That's why in some churches there are always wonderful testimonies. Why in some churches you say, does anybody have a testimony? Everybody be looking around. Everyone's looking around like, you know, certainly he's not talking about me. So you'd wait 5 minutes. No one's hand is up to give a testimony. But in some churches, people are rushing to give testimony. something has happened. They all have testimonies. Churches where they pray in the spirit, they have testimonies. Churches where they don't pray like this in the spirit, hardly do you find any testimony. Everybody's quiet. Pastor says, does anyone want to testify of the good things the Lord has done? Maybe someone will finally get up and say, well, I want to thank the Lord. He blessed me. So, what did he bless you with? He said, well, I woke up this morning. Thank God. That's not a miracle that you woke up this morning. It's a miracle. Well, that's normal. Okay, so how do groaning in the spirit, does it just happen? Do we just say, okay, you know, like somebody said, oh, we told the congregation to get up and let's all start groaning in the spirit. Well, that's not going to work like that, because it says the spirit help us. The spirit. So it is initiated by the spirit. But do we have any role to play? Emphatically, yes. And I'll show that to you. So that you don't sit down there and say, well, you know, I thought that if the Holy Spirit is ready, he will make me groan in the spirit. No. There are things you must do. Let me show you two scriptures. I'll start from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 64. Let's look at verse 7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Did you see that? It was at a time in Israel, and people weren't doing what was right. And the great prophet here says, and there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Which means there was an expectation that people should stir up themselves to take hold of God. Stir up themselves to take hold of God. Which means you have a responsibility to stir yourself in the things of God. Hear this. After you have come to Christ, you have a responsibility to walk in the Spirit. He tells you, walk in the Spirit. Do things of the Spirit. Live according to the Spirit. It's God's calling upon your life. To stir yourself to take hold of God. You know, it's about your mind. Let's look at it. Your mind is a tool that you can use for good or evil. Your mind. You stir yourself with your mind. You start with your mind. Whatever you want to think about, what you do is you turn your attention to it. You see it? You turn your attention to it. If you think upon God, like he says, oh, let Jerusalem come to your mind. It's your choice. You call to mind. You can make yourself so busy about other things you don't want to think. Like you might decide, all you just want to do now is play games. All I want to do, I just want to talk with someone. Oh, I just want to read a nice novel. I just want to read newspapers. I feel like discussing politics. All that is a work of the mind. Even while you're here, you can choose. I'm going to listen to everything Pastor Chris has to say. And you can say, well, I'm not sure whether I want to hear or not. It's a choice. Your mind is a tool. You are the way you are today, not because God made you so. You are the product of your mind. Remember, the Bible tells us, be ye transformed by what? Changing your way of thinking. But be ye transformed. He said, be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the way the world is. The way the world is taking you. He says, but be transformed. A metamorphosis. That's what he's talking about. He says, but be transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you're going to find yourself in the perfect will of God, there must be a change in your mind, your way of thinking. There are people who sit in a church. They are members of a church for 25 years. For all those years, they have never paid attention to the pastor. And so they have never grown. They still reason very carnally, but they have been there for many years. They have never given themselves an opportunity for change. The day they allow God, by changing their way of thinking, they'll be amazed how much glory they should have had. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to teach in the church. You don't need to have a teaching ministry first. The Bible says the servant of the Lord must be apt to teach. Teach in the house of God. Since you're a pastor, you're the head of a congregation, an overseer, teach them the word of God. Open the Bible and show them. Don't teach human advice. Teach the scriptures. Hallelujah. You're still there? Okay. So, let's look at this now. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm talking about you can stay yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stay up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You see, imagine this. He says, we laid hands on you. You received the gift. But now, you must stir it up. It's not going to work just because we laid hands on you. Somebody said, hands were laid on me. And I believe a gift was ministered to me, but it never worked. It never worked? You're like Timothy then. You see it? It would have never worked for Timothy. So the man of God, Paul, told him what to do. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Which means that when he laid hands on Timothy, a gift was transmitted. But that gift would only work when you stir it up. Imagine that I lay hands on you and transmit and impact to you a gift of the Spirit. And then you travel from here. It may not work in the hotel. It may not work on the plane. It may not work when you arrive at the airport. You will have to stir it up. Glory to God. You say, how do I stir it up? That's another session. But I just want you to know, you got a responsibility. Okay? You can stir it up. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
In this next segment, be inspired as Pastor Chris teaches on how to raise children and not converts.
Converts come and go. Children stay.
Also, learn how to practice God's word and see results. You are watching the International School of Ministry Ministers Network Conference. Be blessed as you watch.
Okay. Now, the third one, which is just as important as any of these other ones. And really, if you notice, they're all related, these different kinds of prayer. And especially, you see, it depends on what you want. Do you want real results? Or you want results that look like results? Because there are results that look like results, but are not results at all. You know, some people are successful in a way that looks like success, but not success at all. But when we read what God said to Joshua, he talked about good success. You see, good success. So if you want good success, that means the real deal. Real success. If you want it, then there's a way. There's a way. Glory to God. There's a way. Okay, now. I just told you. What you want is your children. Okay? For the kingdom of God. Not converts. Converts come and go. Children stay. That's a huge difference. That's how come we can have children of ministry all around the world. Wherever they go, they carry out the same thing everywhere. That's why. Because they are children. They're not converts. We didn't raise them to be converts. We raised them as children. But children are born. You see it? Children are born. They're not employed. They're born. That's the difference. You are so quiet now. Like you can hear a pin drop. Glory to God. Yeah. Children. That's what you want. That's what you want. Real spiritual birth. And then you find more and more births. 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 Many years ago, I began to do a research on this. I said many years ago because this, when I got started, I was still very young. When I got started in ministry, I was still very young. And I was very curious to know the things that God really wanted. And that was the time I started making discoveries and also learning how to put the Word of God to work. You see, did you read about Jesus? How that after he received the Holy Spirit, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay? What was he doing there? The Bible says for 40 days and 40 nights, he was in the wilderness. What do you think he was doing there? You know what he was doing? Can I give you a suggestion? One of the writers gives it to us in very brief language. Mark chapter 1. Let's read from verse 12. St. Mark's Gospel chapter 1. Okay. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Talking about Jesus. Immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him. Three things happened while he was in the wilderness. One, he was tempted of Satan. Two, he was with the wild beasts. That's very informative. And three, angels ministered unto him. What was he doing with the wild beasts? Putting the word to work. Hallelujah. Putting the word to work. Sometimes you've got to be trained in some things. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience. Learned obedience. He was subjected to certain situations. You say, learn? Yes, because he was a man. Don't forget. He was the Son of God. But he was a man. He was made a man. The Bible says he was hungry like everybody else. He was tired like everybody else. He slept like anyone else. The Bible says he put aside his glory. He was supernatural in humanity. Jesus was human. And that's the only way he could legally take our place. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He was called the man, Christ Jesus. So he died for us as a man. He defeated Satan as a man. Do you understand? So that's very important. So he was putting the word to work. Sometimes there are people, ministers, who have never tested the word of God on their own, but they want to test it on others. How's it going to work like that? You're not training yourself. You've got to train. Practice God's word on your life. Practice your faith. Put it to work. That's what you do. Put it to work. Practice it. And be excited about it. You know, before you're going to command blind eyes to open, what did you do when you had a headache? You get it? Practice. Now, that doesn't mean, I mean, you've heard some people say that when they get sick, they can't fix it. They say their faith doesn't work. But when they pray for others, miracles happen. Did you ever hear that? Yeah. A lot of people have that experience. But you see, what a lot of them have never done is to practice the word of God. Practice it. It's like when I teach about money, I tell people you can practice playing what I call the money game. It's a very simple thing. I say, start using little amounts. See how it works. Because it works. It's a principle. It's a principle. You can multiply your money. Very, very simple principle. It's a spiritual money game. God says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Simple. So, I take the money. I give. It might be small, but I can watch this little amount of money multiply. You see it? Now, with that understanding, I can make someone who is poor grow financially until he's rich. You see it? It's a simple thing. Learn it. Listen, God's word is for us to do. It's for practice. You do it. You train. If you're going to be the world's number one sprinter, I mean, how many of you heard of Usain Bolt? The fastest runner in the world. Many of you have. But that guy didn't start running the fastest overnight. He had to train. Train himself. Train himself until he became very fast. Spiritual things are like that. You've got to train. You've got to train. Train yourself. Train yourself. Put your faith to work. Put your faith to work. Put your faith to work. I first started learning how to use the word. Oh God, I hope we can really get into that. Maybe tomorrow or so. But training how to put the word to work. First, with my own body. Once I had, I was just beginning to learn it. I was a teenager. And I had a cut. And it was bleeding. And my mind went straight to the woman with the issue of blood. How that when she touched the master, the Bible says the issue of blood ceased. Now, I understand very well about touching God with faith. So for me, that was a simple thing for me to do. So I said, in the name of Jesus, stop bleeding. So I put my finger there and said, stop bleeding. Then I thought, I can go beyond that and say, be healed and join together. And there it was. The bleeding stopped. I was excited. The bleeding stopped and it joined together and then there was no mark. So I was excited. I was excited. A young guy. I was excited. I felt I discovered something. I'm going to be using it. Now, through the years, I did the same thing many times. Many times. So I'm quick to use the word. I'm quick. If I hit my leg against something, he's like, ah! That's a big heal. Or I say, heal. I even did something for a long time. Sometimes maybe, you know, some of us when we're eating, we're talking too. Okay? So sometimes I bit my tongue or I bit the size of my mouth. And then that pain will be there for another 1 week or more. And then you have difficulty, you know, what kind of food you're going to eat. How many of you have experienced anything like that? Thank you. You know what I'm talking about. But then I learned something. I put it to practice. I put my finger there. And I say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Then I noticed every time I did it, it was healed instantly. Never failed once. Then I tried, okay, let me not say anything. Then I noticed the pain continued over a while, for several days. Then I said, okay, let me try. Maybe just put my hand there and just press it. And I did, but there was still no change. There was still a problem. So I said, okay, that means I actually was releasing my faith when I did. From then on, every time I did it, every time. And when I say every time, not failed once. Whether it's the tongue or the side of my mouth, and I put my finger in there and say, be healed. The moment I injure it or I beat it, I say, be healed. In Jesus' name, be healed. Sometimes while I'm still chewing, be healed. Because I don't want to carry another 7 days or 12 days with the pain. You know. But it worked all the time. That wasn't a manifestation of a gift of the Spirit. It was putting the Word of God to work. Learning. It's a practice. Put the Word to work. Practice it. Do it. Sometimes you might find that something you're trying didn't work. That means there's something you don't know yet about it. So learn it again. Try again, because the word will not fail. Hallelujah.
When we pray, God hears. When we pray, God responds. This is our strength and confidence. In this concluding segment, the man of God, Pastor Chris, teaches on the importance of making deposits of prayer into our future. You are watching the International School of Ministry Ministers Network Conference with the man of God, Pastor Chris. This conference had in attendance over 5,000 ministers representing over 105 nations. Be blessed as you watch.
You want real success in it. You want real spiritual birth. Yes. Then, something you've got to do. I gave you a scripture, right? Okay. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What scripture did I give you? Isaiah. Six to six. From verse number 8. Isaiah 66 from verse 8. You will see this now. Who had heard such a thing? Who had seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Read the rest. 1, 2, go. Again. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. I said there's a difference between producing converts and having children. They're two different things. As soon as Zion travailed, She brought forth her children. This is something that many, many ministers need to be taught. There's something called soul travail. Travailing in birth for souls. It is a spiritual ministry. You may have programs and programs and programs and end up with converts. You can spend a whole lot of money and have different kinds of programs. I learned it very early. I don't need to use any catchy thing to get people. I don't need to get, you know, even young people, because I learned it with young people. I don't need to use anything to attract them. No, I have to become the magnet. That's what I have to be. John Wesley said, if the minister will burn, people will come to see the fire. You know, the fire has to be set inside you. Inside you. It will not come. Don't say, oh God, bring the fire. No, stir up yourself. It's about desire. What do you really want? We are told that that woman that had the issue of blood, who was suffering from hemorrhage for 12 years, she had suffered all, for so long, the Bible says she had spent all her living on doctors and never grew better. She rather grew worse. Then the Bible says, when she heard of Jesus, she said to herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Did she stay where she was? No! She acted her faith. She went. Because her desire to be healed was very strong. If your desire for a change is strong, you will see it. But when your desire for a change is not strong, you will not do anything about it. The question is, how strong is your desire? How strong is it? How strong is your desire to see real birth? How strong is your desire to see real growth? How strong is it? You know, sometimes people ask us questions. They want to know, what are the things you do that... they want to know what kind of style. What kind of... There are no styles. If I know any style, I will tell you. I don't know any. There's no style. One thing I know, when my knees hit the floor, then I know there will be a change. I know. That's my relationship with God. I kneel to pray. Or sometimes I go prostrate on the floor and I'm praying and calling on the Lord. Because that's how Abraham prayed. That's how Isaac prayed. Jacob prayed. The patriarchs prayed that way. Moses did. Joshua did. All the men and women of God throughout the scriptures, that's the way they prayed. And that's the way we have to pray. There were no quick fixes. The only quick fixes there were happened when they called on him. It was his response that was the answer. Bible says a million soldiers came out against Judah, and Asa cried to God. He said, we have no might against this multitude, the Ethiopians, the Labims, they came out against you. The Bible says he cried to God, and the Lord responded and acted on his behalf. You read that so many times in the Bible. Victory after victory. Victory after victory. Victory after victory. What could be done to us to keep us away from victory and success? What is it? Where can they take us? The deepest dungeon. The highest heights. It doesn't matter where. When we pray from that situation, when we pray, God hears. Amen. Hallelujah. He hears. That's your confidence as a minister of God. That's your strength as a minister of God. And so you want to grow that ministry. You want more souls to come in before you start organizing programs. Because the programs are supposed to be for you a response, God's guidance for the prayer that you prayed. He says, when the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. But you haven't saturated your clouds yet. How do you saturate the clouds? With your tears. With your praying. When it's time to pray, you wake up. You're feeling sleepy. But there's a job that needs to be done. There's a challenge. You see, the ministry must move in this direction. Something's got to happen. And so even though you're tired, you have woken up because of your need, because of the desire. You get up. It's raining. It's cold. But you're going to pray. There are many things some of us settled many years ago. So when we just walk through, we know we've taken care of those things. I tell people there are deposits of prayer you have to make for your future. But if you have not made those deposits, where do you want to draw from? Where do you want to draw from? Because you want a real ministry. A real ministry. The ministry of the Holy Ghost. Then you find that when you're talking, God is talking. You see, when you stretch forth your hand, it's the hand of God. When you look, it's God seeing through your eyes. Then you start understanding, yeah, you have moved to another level. It is not by might. It is not by power. But by my spirit, saith the Lord. By my spirit. By my spirit. It says, as soon as Zion travailed, what happened? She brought forth her children. Put the scripture back up there. Isaiah 66. Yeah. It says, who had heard such a thing? Who had seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. Sometimes there are cities that are difficult to preach the gospel. Because people are so spiritually blind and deaf. That you talk about Jesus, they just can't get it. How can you change such things? By this type of prayer. As soon as Zion travailed. But as long as the ministers are dry-eyed, nothing's going to happen. You're just going to keep watching people go to hell. And one day God is going to ask you why. Why did you let them go? You could have done something. And he holds you responsible because you could have done something about it. Every minister should know how to cry in prayer. Every minister of the gospel. Listen, the ministry of intercession is not for a certain group in the church. The number one chief intercessor in every church is the pastor. You are the first intercessor. You are the first person with the intercessory ministry. Don't give it to a group of people in the church. I'm not saying you should not have an intercessory group if you want to. It's fine. But I'm telling you, don't delegate your own intercessory ministry to the group of intercessors in church. They have their job to do, but you must have yours to do. As the number one intercessor. Say, I have a ministry of intercession. In the Bible, every man of God did. If you don't have it, you're not a man or woman of God. Yeah, if you don't have it, that means you're not called. Because the first thing is intercession. Every minister of God Your eyes, tears must be very close to your eyes, that they easily come out. You know, some of you haven't cried for a long time, only when you have pain or something you don't like is happening. When was the last time you wept for souls because of what they were going through? If that has been a long time, brother, sister, it's been too long. It's been too long. It's been too long. No serious ministry can survive without that. You can have a serious ministry without that. Your heart will be weeping for souls of men. You're an intercessor. When you look at people, you see them as children. You know, it's one of the gifts that God will give you in ministry, to learn to see people with the eyes with which God sees them, with compassion. And when you turn away from them, all you do is pray for them and cry for their sake, that there may be a change in their lives, including those who insult you and abuse you, who despitefully use you and persecute you. You pray for them like that. The same way. Something, see, that's what we found about Jesus. But we have the same spirit with him. Same spirit. Same spirit. So during this conference, it's one of the things that I would call on you to be a part of. Prayer. Prayer. When you're in your hotel room, take some time to pray. Take some time to pray. And be praying about your work. When you go back, what changes will take place? If the change hasn't taken place inside you, you can't take it out. It can't happen outside what has not happened in you. Glory to God. But you must make it happen. You are the one to make it happen. Stir up yourself to take hold of God by giving yourself the right thoughts. The right thoughts. Like during this program, there are things that the Holy Spirit would have been saying to you since we got started. And some of you are writing down those things. But when you're in your privacy, look through them. Look through them. Don't just look through them the way you look through a newspaper. Look through them with the heart of God. And as you look at them, let your heart be stirred with the things that you're seeing. Let your heart be stirred. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Yes. All right, let's look at those two verses. And this time we'll use the Amplified Version and make our conclusions. All right, first, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where we were, and verse number 4. But this time we'll look at it from the Amplified Translation. Have you found it? Good. He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. Did you see that? He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. That's the part I want you to see. He edifies and improves himself. How do you want to improve yourself? Speaking in tongues improves you. It improves you. Your spirit is improved. Jude verse 20. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Look at the next line. He says what? Make progress. Make what? Progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. I told you, nothing can stop your progress if you do this. He's given you the secret. That's the secret right there. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. He tells you, make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher. Have you seen that house, the building at the city center? One day, it was just two floors high. And there are many other high buildings that were surrounding it. They had to look down and say, oh, they're building something down there. And the next thing they knew was, it's now five floors higher. They didn't know the builders were thinking about a 55-story building. Until it towered higher than all the other buildings at the city center. Rising like an edifice, higher and higher. Even though it was so low when they started. That's how that church is. Where they pray in the spirits. Everybody looks at you like, oh, what are these people doing there? There are 140 of them singing praises to God. Surrounded by other people. They look at you down there. What are they doing? The more you pray in the spirits, your faith level rises. And you're doing things that others didn't think you could do. You're making progress. You're rising like an edifice. Until you dominate the whole city. And they start asking, where did that guy start from? Glory to God. Amen. That's what I see happening to many of you. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And you will grow and grow and grow. Amen. And multiply. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Open your mouth and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit.
Oh, what glorious...